You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct, the show where we dig into the technology that's reshaping how we fly. Today, we're talking about something that has been quietly revolutionary on the ground and is now making serious moves at altitude: satellite internet in the cockpit, specifically Starlink. SpaceX's constellation of low Earth orbit satellites is no longer just for your house or your RV. It's coming to aviation in a big way. And honestly, it's already here for a lot of operators. So let's break this down. What is it? Why should you care? And what does it actually mean for you as a pilot? This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, to understand why Starlink matters for aviation, you first have to understand what came before it. Traditional in-flight connectivity has relied on one of two approaches: either air-to-ground cellular networks, which is basically cell towers pointed at the sky, or geostationary satellite links. Both have significant limitations. Air-to-ground only works over land. Fly over water, you lose it, and geostationary satellites sit about 22,000 miles above the equator. That distance creates latency. You're talking anywhere from 500 to 700 milliseconds of round-trip delay. That's noticeable. That's the lag you feel when you're on a video call, and it's just slightly out of sync. Plus, the bandwidth has historically been limited and expensive. Starlink is fundamentally different. SpaceX has launched over 6,000 satellites into low Earth orbit. We're talking altitudes of around 340 miles, compared to that 22,000-mile altitude for geostationary birds. That difference in distance translates directly to latency. Starlink delivers round-trip times of around 20 to 40 milliseconds. That's comparable to a decent home broadband connection, and the bandwidth is dramatically higher. We're talking about potential throughput of several hundred megabits per second to a single aircraft. Now, here's what most people miss about why this matters. This isn't just about passengers streaming movies, though. Yes, that's part of the commercial equation. For general aviation pilots, for business aviation, for the broader flying community, low latency, high bandwidth connectivity at altitude opens doors that were previously closed. Think about weather. Right now, if you're flying with a portable automatic dependent surveillance broadcast receiver, you're getting Flight Information Service broadcast weather. That's great, it's free, but it has limitations. The data is delayed. The radar imagery is typically 6 to 12 minutes old by the time it hits your screen. Turbulence reports are pilot-generated and can be sparse. Now imagine having a full broadband internet connection in the cockpit. Real-time radar composites, current satellite imagery, live turbulence data from services that aggregate thousands of data points. Not the simplified version that fits through a narrow data pipe, but the full resolution picture. The same tools a dispatcher at a major airline has, right there on your iPad. And it goes beyond weather. Think about electronic flight bags. Right now, you update your charts and databases on the ground before you fly. Yepezen pushes updates on a cycle. If a notice to air missions comes out after you've pulled away from the gate or left the ramp, you might not see it. With persistent broadband, your EFB could maintain a live connection, receiving real-time updates to airspace approaches and notices throughout the flight. Let's talk about the hardware for a second, because this is where engineering meets reality. The Starlink aviation antenna is a flat, electronically steered phased array. It's roughly about 12 inches in diameter for the newer generation units. SpaceX designed a variant specifically for aviation use. It's built to handle the vibration, the temperature extremes, the altitude, and critically, it uses electronic beam steering, meaning there are no moving parts. It tracks satellites across the sky by shifting the phase of its antenna elements. That's a big deal for reliability. Mechanical gimbals and older satellite antennas were a maintenance headache. The installation on larger aircraft, business jets, and airliners involves mounting the antenna on the fuselage, typically on top, with a radome over it. You need a supplemental type certificate for the installation on certificated aircraft. Several avionics shops have developed STCs for popular business jet platforms. Gulfstream, Bombardier Challenger and Global Series, Embraer Legacy and Praetor, and several others. For the airlines, this is already happening at scale. JSX, the semi-private carrier operating Embraer 145s, was actually one of the early adopters. United Airlines committed to Starlink across their mainline fleet. Hawaiian Airlines signed on. Qatar Airways has been testing it on widebody international routes. The airline adoption has been fast because the value proposition is clear. Passengers want connectivity that actually works, and the legacy systems were frustrating enough that airlines were motivated to switch. Now, the question I know a lot of general aviation pilots are asking: what about us? What about a Cessna 172, or a Bonanza, or a Cirrus SR22? This is where we need to be honest about the current state of things. As of right now, there is no plug-and-play Starlink solution for light general aviation aircraft. The aviation terminal is designed for pressurized aircraft flying at higher altitudes. The STC process for light aircraft is limited, and the cost structure, both for hardware and for the monthly service, is oriented toward commercial and business aviation operators. We're talking about hardware costs in the tens of thousands, and monthly service fees that would make most private pilots wince. However, and this is important, the trajectory here is clear. SpaceX has a history of driving costs down through iteration and scale. The Starlink hardware has already gone through multiple generations, each one smaller, lighter, cheaper, and more capable than the last. The consumer dish that cost SpaceX roughly $3,000 to manufacture in 2020 was down to around a few hundred dollars by 2024. That cost curve doesn't stop. There's also an interesting middle ground developing. Some pilots have experimented with consumer Starlink hardware in unpressurized aircraft at lower altitudes. I want to be very clear here. This is not approved. Using a consumer Starlink dish in flight raises regulatory questions around Federal Communications Commission licensing, electromagnetic interference, and aircraft certification. I'm not recommending it, but it tells you something about demand. Pilots want this capability badly enough that they're experimenting. The more realistic, near-term path for GA is probably through enhanced existing channels. Companies like Iridium continue to develop their network. Iridium Certus offers broadband data through their low Earth orbit constellation. It doesn't match Starlink's bandwidth, but it's available now with certified aviation hardware, and services like ForeFlight and Garmin Pilot continue to optimize how they use available bandwidth to deliver increasingly rich data through relatively narrow pipes. Let me talk about the operational implications for a minute, because this is where it gets really interesting from a systems perspective. The data tells an interesting story about what happens when you give pilots persistent connectivity. Airlines that have deployed Starlink report that their dispatchers can communicate with flight crews in near real time, not through the old ACARS system with its text-based messages that feel like sending a telegram, but through actual data-rich communication, updated flight plans, revised weather packages, operational notices, all flowing continuously to the flight deck. For business aviation, the connectivity transforms the cabin into a genuine office. And I don't mean the old version of air to ground where you could barely load a web page. I mean actual video conferencing, cloud document access, the works that changes the economics of business flying. When a CEO can be fully productive for a 4-hour flight instead of essentially being offline, the calculus on whether to fly commercial or private shifts. There are also implications for safety and for future air traffic management. The FAA has been exploring concepts like trajectory-based operations, or TBO, which would require much more data exchange between aircraft and air traffic control than current systems support. A broadband data link to every aircraft could be a key enabler for next-generation airspace management. Imagine real-time collaborative routing, where aircraft and ATC negotiate efficient paths using shared weather and traffic data, all flowing over a broadband satellite link. Now, let me give you the balanced view, because I always try to be straight with you on this show. There are concerns. Cybersecurity is a real consideration when you connect an aircraft to the internet. Aviation networks need to be segmented so that passenger Wi-Fi can never interact with avionics systems. This is already standard practice, but as connectivity becomes more deeply integrated into operations, the attack surface grows. The aviation industry needs to stay ahead of this. Spectrum congestion is another question. As more airlines and operators adopt Starlink, the demand on the constellation grows. SpaceX is launching satellites at an extraordinary rate to stay ahead of demand. But there are physical limits to how much capacity you can deliver to a given geographic area. Over the North Atlantic, where hundreds of aircraft are transiting simultaneously, the per-aircraft bandwidth may be lower than over less trafficked areas, and there's the business model question. SpaceX has not been entirely transparent about the long-term pricing structure for aviation. Early adopters have gotten favorable terms, but as the network matures, pricing could shift. For airlines operating on razor-thin margins, predictable connectivity costs matter a lot. There's also a dependency risk. If a significant portion of aviation operations comes to rely on a single commercial satellite constellation operated by one company, that's a concentration of risk worth thinking about. What happens during a major solar storm? What about orbital debris concerns as the constellation grows? These aren't showstoppers, but they're engineering realities that deserve honest assessment. Looking ahead, where is this going? I think within the next 3 to 5 years, you'll see broadband connectivity become standard on virtually all new commercial and business aircraft. It will be like having a transponder, you just have it. For general aviation, I think we're probably 5 to 8 years from seeing affordable, certified, broadband solutions for light aircraft. But when it comes, it will transform the cockpit, real-time everything. Weather, traffic, flight planning, maintenance, monitoring, all continuously updated. The bigger picture is that Starlink for aviation is really just one piece of a broader trend. Aviation is becoming a connected, data-rich environment, and that connectivity is going to enable capabilities we're only beginning to imagine, from enhanced safety systems to entirely new ways of managing airspace. The satellite internet piece is the infrastructure layer that makes the rest possible. And that, to me, is why this matters so much. It's not about checking your email at flight level 350. It's about what becomes possible when every aircraft has a high bandwidth, low latency connection to the rest of the world. That's what we've got for today. Sources for this segment include reporting from Aveweb and their coverage of airline Starlink deployments, data from SpaceX's FCC filings on constellation performance, analysis from AOPA on general aviation connectivity trends, and technical specifications published by several avionics integrators working on STC programs. As always, Radio Hangar is fully AI-generated content created by people who love aviation. Everything we talk about comes from real sources, and we try to give you the honest picture, hype and all. You can find more at radiohangar.com, and if you want to dig deeper into any of the sources we mentioned, they're all linked on the show page. I'm Vector. Thanks for flying with me today on Clear Direct. Go learn something about your airplane this week. You'll be glad you did. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.